Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue this series, Our Story, Week 5, Cracked with Gold. Let's listen in.
You know, I just want to jump in and just, a few weeks ago, we talked about the steps of purifying gold, and then the first step was the crucible. There's me a picture up here, and if you've ever seen the crucible, it's just, you can heat it up super hot in this furnace, and you put the minerals in, that's where you find the gold, because the gold comes, the gold stays in there, but the stuff that needs to be purified comes to the surface. And so you put the crucible in the fire, heat it up, and the stuff that's dirty floats to the surface. And that's, when that stuff floats to the surface, it's called the dross. I think it's called the dross or the dross. And what happens is when that stuff floats to the surface, you skim that that crud off the top, because what you're trying to do is purify the gold. And people think, well, when you heat it up and you get that stuff off the top, well, then you're ready. And then that's when I laugh and go, oh, no, that's when you go to the next stage, which is called heating up more. And so what happens is you turn the fire on even hotter, put the crucible back in there, and guess what? You do it all over again, and the stuff floats to the top, and you skim off that top layer. And some of us, if you're like me, you keep on wondering, God, is this ever gonna stop being hard? Isn't it funny how the closer you get to the Lord, he keeps on bringing things to the surface that you never thought was there? And you're like, well, I got attitude issues, I got trust issues, and more stuff comes to the surface. And so, and today we're gonna kind of talk about a similar thing. But first I wanna say this, is there's a verse that says, Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father," which is awesome, "Abba Father, we are the clay and you are the potter." It says, "We are the work of your hand." When we were down in Haiti, if you could put the picture up of the first picture, Ben, of that project, I think it's called Papillon, what it's called. And it's cool because the place that we're actually sending money to, this is a place similar. And the story about this place is pretty amazing. If you actually want to go on YouTube, on Netflix, and go to Poverty Inc., it actually shares a story about this place. And it was a couple who wanted to adopt a kid out of Haiti. And so they went down there to do the adoption, and when they got down there, they had to stay a month or so, and they're from America, they had to stay a month or so to get to know the culture and the kid, and they're going to adopt. And as they were there, the kid they want to adopt was in an orphanage, and the orphanage workers, one of the workers said, "Do you want to meet the kid's mom?" And they thought that was the weirdest thing ever. And they were like, "We thought the orphanage kids were here because the parents don't want them." And they said, "Oh, no, and the mom comes quite a bit to see her kid." And then, yeah, we want to see her. So the mom came, and they started having a conversation. And come to find out, the mom's not getting rid of the kid because she doesn't want the kid. The mom's getting rid of the kid because she can't afford the kid. And so what ends up happening, this couple decided they're about ready to spend $30,000 to adopt a kid out of Haiti to take away from the mom. And they said, "What if we can start a business to make sure these parents have the funds to keep their kids in their own house?" So they started this thing called, it's just like the peace cycle thing that you guys give to. This thing is called Papillon. What they do is they make pottery, they make jewelry, they make t-shirts. How many employees do they have now full-time? Over 200? Yeah, they have over 200 employed Haitians working there. And they even have childcare there so they can bring their kids in. It's an amazing thing. And so it's an amazing thing they make this too. But one of the things I want to show you is, I love that scripture verse that says, "He is the potter and we are the clay." Because when you go there, go back to the picture before if you can, Ben, go back. They actually make these. So on a potter wheel on the top, they find dirt there, of course, clay, and they teach the people there how to do pottery. You got to go through classes and everything. And they bring, if you see it, they put a big clump of mud and clay there, and they form these cups that look like this, and then they add things like strength. These are the new ones that are coming out, which are pretty awesome. And this is what they do, and they form this cup like this into something that can be used. And then here's the irony about it, and I love the scripture verse that says that you are created and wonderfully made. That God just didn't get clay and go, boom, throw it down and say, "Look at what I created." But God takes time molding us and shaping us. And I love the scripture verse in 1 Peter that says, these trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, which we just said, your faith is more precious to the God than mere gold. So as your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day of Jesus Christ. Because not only does this you work, but it gets too fiery. And Isaiah says that you were formed and made. Isaiah 43, 67 says, everyone who was called by name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, where we get the word transformed, where he says, I take an object that you might not think is important, and I form it and make it, which means I transform it. I transform that object, which sometimes we even mess up. And so the potter takes a piece of clay that's really nothing more than a piece of clay, and he transforms it. He molds it and shapes it. And sometimes, listen, it's not just massaging it. It's forming it. And sometimes it doesn't feel the best, but he's forming something in it. And then, just like I was saying before, he goes into, once they put this the paint and the gloss on it, they put them in kilns. If you could put that picture up, Ben, of these are the kilns from down there. Compassion International actually bought these kilns for the project down there. And these are four brand new kilns. So they take the pottery that's just soft and painted, and they put it in the fire. Just what they do with the gold and the fire and, you know what I'm saying, in the crucible, they take these pots and they heat them up so they can be used to carry things. And they can be used because without being heated up in the fire, without being heated up, here's what we get. They stay soft. You can't even, can you imagine just holding clay? It's just going to go bloop, like this. It's like, it's not going to be usable. It's not going to be, and it's not going to take shape. It's not going to stay hard. And we get heated up. And then we wonder to God saying, why are you doing this? Why am I always going through the fire? I feel like I'm in the wilderness or the desert. Why? And partly, I want to say this, just like the pottery needs to go into the kiln to be strengthened, we need to go through the fire to be strengthened. Amen? Because it's not, listen, it's not always about God disciplining you or getting mad at you. It's about God strengthening you. It's about God building in you. Because the stronger you are, the more you can carry. The more that can go, the more that can be filled up. And so we get heated up, and it becomes hard. Like just like Peter was saying, in the fiery, just like the gold. Because I want you to understand, what happens in us is far more important than what happens to us. You got to catch this. Because so many times people tell me, like I was talking about a few weeks ago, that Eeyore mentality saying, woe is me, this happens and this happens. Now listen, one thing I love about all these stories is that they're talking, even Donna Carroll, about hardships they go through, and you keep on pressing forward. Anybody ever been jet skiing before? I was in a jet skiing accident. You know why? Not surprised, are you? And the reason why is one of my first times in a jet ski, and no one ever told me if the throttle's not down, you can't turn it. And so guess what I did? I, you know what I'm saying? Well, I hit something. So I just couldn't turn it. I learned my lesson, but it needs, now listen, it needs to be moving forward for it to change directions. It's hard to change if it's not moving. And that's what I always tell people, take a next step. Be taking steps and moving forward because God wants to do transformation in us, take steps in us. And now listen, one of my saddest things to see is, and this is not just old people, this is young people, this is everybody. People who are so nervous and so scared because of past hurts and pains and because of fear, we're going to deal with this in our series next week called What If. People are so scared because of hurts and pains or whatever that you're unwilling to take the next step, and here's what begins to happen. You are being held back spiritually and emotionally because you're not moving forward. And I watch this. I watch people. I'm just like, I just want to kick them in the pants. Because I always say, God has more for you than what you're leaving behind. There's more. And you're so caught in the what ifs, and you're so caught in the past, and you're so scared. I'm like, just trust the Lord. I love it. Get out of your own way, like Carol said, and trust the Lord. And it's interesting. So we get heated up. But then here's what begins to happen. As we get heated up, I'm not going to do this because I love this mug. I was actually thinking about just breaking this and just going, rah, this is my point. But I like it, so I'm not going to do that. But here's the deal. If I were to take this mug that somebody created, this is a side note, and this must be the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I'm sharing this. But if the lady who created this gave this to me, and I said, and she just gave this to me, and she says, here you go, and I said, thank you. That's pretty ugly. How do you think she would feel if I would have said that? Not good, right? So when the Creator creates you, and you look in the mirror, and you look at all the flaws in yourself, you're speaking more to the Creator than you are to the created. Amen? So be very careful. So I just want to throw that out there. You were created. You are wonderfully made. And Jeremiah talks about before you were even born, you were beautifully made. He had a purpose and a plan for you. So don't speak negative about your spouse. You know what I'm saying? Praise him because you were created. So that was a side note. So here we go. If I were to take this and smash it, but I'm not going to do it. The question is, it's clay and it was through the fire. How do you even fix that? Because I tell you what, there's a lot of people in this room. This is where the truth comes into play today. There's a lot of people in this room. You've been through this series. You've been walking with us through this whole series. And you literally today, you feel shattered. You feel broken. You feel hurt. You feel like you're in a million pieces. You literally feel like, I know I'm created, but you don't understand, number one, the mistakes I've made. You don't understand how I reacted to my kids. You don't understand my past relationships. You don't understand the hurts and the pain I've been through. You don't understand this past. You don't know what I've been through. And literally, I feel like all I'm trying to do is pick up these pieces that people have destroyed in my life. What's interesting is that, and it might have been a previous pastor who spoke negative things in your life. It might have been a boss or a family member. It might have been somebody else. Maybe it was an abuse or whatever it is. But you look at your life, and here's what you feel. You feel shattered. You feel like the mirror that you look into is a shattered mirror, and you can't even see the reflection because all you see is the brokenness. And this is the truth. Because we have people in my house, my wife, we go for lunch with people, and listen, it comes up about the brokenness and moving forward, and I talk every single week about taking next steps, and a lot of you are saying, listen, I don't know how to take a next step when I'm broken, because listening, I know I was God made me, I know I was created, and I was painted, and God did something in me, and I went through some fires, and I got out, and someone just took this and smashed it, and now I feel like I'm just broken. This is hard. And then you come to church and you want to love Jesus and you want to surrender. And you want to worship him, but at the same time, you're just feeling broken. And you're saying, now what? You can't put this back in the fire. You can't microwave this down and try to work it all over again. What do you do if it's broken? And so some of you have no other options. You're just saying, I'm a broken vessel. I'm just broken. And I'm not saying you're broken as far as I'm humbled. You're just saying, I just feel broken. I feel like I'm not even worthy or useful or anything. But here it is. About 3 years ago, I found out about something. And when I saw this, I went, this is the most beautiful thing ever. And here's the phrase I want you to hit over and over again. It's called kintsukiri. You can put that picture up. This is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. About 3 years ago, I used this in a message, and I want this ingrained in our head. Here's what it means. The definition is, in Japanese, is to repair with gold. It means the art of repairing pottery with gold or silver, lacquer, and understanding that the peace is even, listen to this, is even more beautiful now than it was before it was broken. Oh man, isn't that sweet? Anybody else just get feel warm right there? Because what happens is brokenness gets down and we say, what's going on? Because in Japanese culture, they've seen these broken pieces of art, and somebody developed this, and I'm telling you, if you see one of these are very rare. These are like in museums or fine places, because they would actually take the broken pieces and they would gently place them back together, and instead of gluing each piece back together, they would take gold and put it together, and the gold would harden, and in the cracks is a touch of gold in all the cracks. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? And I think what's amazing about that is, I think that's where a lot of you have to know, because our God is the best thing he does is restores all things. As we go into this Easter season, you know what the resurrection means? Is to restore, to bring back to life. And it's no way, think about this. Jesus was a carpenter. He took something that was nothing and made it into something. He literally brought life all the time to broken pieces, broken vessels, and into messes in our life. He repaired it. If we have Dan and Breen up here, he heals the brokenness with gold. Not only does gold is restored, but listen to this. When the gold is brought into the pottery, it actually adds more value to the pottery after the brokenness. More value is being added. He remakes us with a touch of gold. The brokenness mess becomes a beautiful mess. It goes from a brokenness life to a life of purpose. And your story is not over yet. The story is not done yet. And here's what I want us to say this morning. So many of you are trying to write your own stories, and so many of you are trying to pencil in what you want God to do, and you're trying to control everything. Just like what Don and Carol said, you gotta get out of the way, which means for some of you, put the pencil down and stop writing your own story. At some point, you just gotta surrender to what God has for you. And that means, listen, that means, I know this sounds crazy, so bear with me, but as I'm dealing with people week in, week out, I'm starting to realize that some people don't want to move on. Because you don't know how it looks after you move past the pain and the hurt and the addictions. You don't know how it looks when you literally let that past go and let that things go. You don't know how that looks. And so I'm here to tell you, listen, you need to surrender to allow to be healed. That God wants to heal you. That God wants to take the brokenness and inlay you with gold. That God wants you to be a healed vessel with a little bit of gold in it. I love Sarah Bowes. She's starting her church today. And ministry is called, like, listen, more precious than rubies. Listen, you're more precious than gold. It just says that in Peter. It says, God, you're more precious to him than gold. It's interesting to me. But can I tell you? I don't know why I gotta say this either, but listen up. For those of you in this room who've been hurt by a pastor or a church or people in a church or people who push you, who call themselves Christians, who hurt you, listen, I know this won't make up for it. I'm gonna hear him tell you, I'm sorry. Sorry. Listen, I don't. God doesn't want you to carry that alone. God doesn't want you to carry that mess and have that control your life. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. Everybody stand up this morning. I'm going to end with a story. It says, a water bearer in India had two large pots. Each hun each end of a pole and carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered the full portion of water to the end of a long walk from the stream to the master's house. The cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bear delivering only 1.5 pots of full water to the master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it was made to do. Listen, it was only accomplished half of what it was made to do. After 2 years of what perceived to be a bitter failure, the pot, broken pot, spoke to the water bear one day and said, "I am but ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why? Why?" said the bear. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for 2 years," is what he said, I have been able for 2 years to deliver only half of my load because this crack in the side, because water to leak out the way back to the master's house. Because of my flaws, because of my cracks, because of my imperfections, you have to do all this work. You don't get full value from your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." Indeed, they went up the hill, and the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wild flowers on the side of the path, and this cheered him some. But at the end of the trail, he felt bad because it leaked out half the load again. And so he began to apologize to the bear and say, "I'm a failure." But the bear said to the pot, "Did you notice that they were flowers along the side of your path only, not the other side? That's because I've always known about your flaw and took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walked back from the stream, you've watered them. And for 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the master's table. And without you being just the way you are, we would have not had this beauty to grace our house." I read this, and 2 days later, I read this quote that says, by Leonard Cohen, "There is a crack in everything, and that's there because it allows the light to get in." Revelations 12 says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of what? The word of their testimony." You might be broken, you might be flawed, you might be cracked, but more important than that, you are loved and you are beautifully made. You've got to understand he pursues you, he loves you in the midst of your imperfections, that he has a purpose for you and a plan for you, and he loves you. Even in the midst of your stupid, dumb choices, he loves you. He pursues you. And that's God's grace.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we start the new series, What If?